Hi, it's Joy Foster, founder of Tech Pixies, and I am the host of the Sparkle and Thrive podcast. And today I am joined by Tony Whitney. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Hi, Joy. I'm really well. How are you going?
Yeah, great. Well, now I've had a call out for people who would love to share their stories, and you were like, yes, please, I want to share mine. So I'm so excited that you are here to share your story because you've been in the Tech Pixie world now for quite some time. We were in the face-to-face world when we first met, and now we've moved virtually. And now you too are in your dream job. I just interviewed an amazing member of our community who got her dream job. So let's tell your story, Tony. How did you find Tech Pixies? How did you get started? And what are you up to today?
Yeah, originally I found your taster kind of session on Eventbrite. Yeah, I sort of made a decision that I wanted to sort of get back into the world of tech. Came along and met you face to face. Goodness, I think 2017 springs to mind. It was a long time ago, anyway.
A
Either way,
long time ago.
yeah, and I was completely sold on the concept of what you were trying to sort of do for women getting back into tech. But I just couldn't make that face to face kind of thing work initially. So I revisited it, and so 2019 I think I got, or latter part of, and I started on the face to face, as you know, but sort of life took a different angle and I had to pause that. And then my third attempt was the virtual stuff, so that kind of really played into my favor really. And I haven't looked back since. It's springboarded me onto all the things that I wanted to achieve, so it's been an amazing journey from that perspective.
Let's just talk about that. We don't have to go into too many details, but one of the things that I found with women is that life happens and it gets interrupted. Your plans get interrupted, and so many women's careers go on pause and get sort of put on the back burner as they focus on the things they need to focus on with their families, elderly parents, younger children, partners, spouses, their own mental health, physical health. Why is it important that they not give up on themselves and when the timing is right, say, okay, I'm taking this time for me and I'm going to do it?
I think all the reasons that you can find to not make it happen will always be there. But I think ultimately, if you don't do or you don't achieve what it is you want to achieve, then the other pieces aren't going to work. So I think one of my kind of hesitations was, I can't be a mum and get back into work. But what I realized is actually getting back into work is contributing a lot more to how I am as a mother in the house and a partner to my husband and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's important from that perspective. If you don't feel fulfilled and you're not doing, you're not sort of achieving what your ambitions are, then the other stuff isn't going to be as good as it could be, is pretty much probably the message I'd put out there. And I think that nagging feeling doesn't go away. I think if you have that desire to do something and achieve something over and above what's happening in your current sort of setup, it's always going to be there. So you need to make the time to really unpick what it is you want to do, and make the time for yourself to get there.
And one of my favorite videos in our Tech Pixie Community Hub is of you walking to work on your first day. It was such a great video. So talk us through the emotions that you were having as you were walking into work on your first day, because it had been a while since you'd been in the
Yeah,
office.
you know what? It was so long coming. That first day walking to work was just like, I just needed to share it. And I think that's the thing that the course gives you. It's not just those skills to get where you want to be. It's having access to a community that really understands that sense of achievement. It was just that it had to happen. It had to go in there as a video. And even that in itself, putting a live video in was a massive accomplishment for me, because as from the early stages, that I mean, even now I'm nervous doing this, but from the early stages, just putting myself out there was, wow, this is completely out of my comfort zone. So the emotion was like, I've finally done it. I'm finally back in. I'm finally achieving what I wanted to achieve all those years ago, which was really, getting back into the workplace. I was doing a whole load of stuff anyway, but it wasn't in the right environment for me. It was working for myself, it was doing sort of property, working in a silo, and I just needed to get back into working with people, in groups and group projects and that kind of stuff. And I was doing it. I was living that dream. And I just didn't, from the get-go, it just didn't seem achievable. I never thought in a million years that I could get back into that kind of, into that environment, for many reasons. You know, you lose a bit of your confidence, you know, when you're wearing sort of your mum hat, lots of things, the check, and, you know, going back into an industry that I hadn't been into for about 10, 12 years. You know, I just thought all of that kind of, all of that knowledge that I'd built up would have become obsolete. But it's those core skills that are still there. You know, you're still the same person you were. It's just kind of try to get you back to where you were and start to believe in yourself, I think. But yeah, it was a big moment. Yeah, and I don't think I would have got there without being part of the sort of the Tech Pixies community and all that that gives you.
Oh, well, I just loved watching that. It was, you know, so you have these amazing moments where, because we have a beautiful community, and there's over 750 women in it. And that's a lot of women to hold space for and hope their dreams, you know, hope and pray that their dreams all work out and that we can be a part of that. So when it comes together like that, for you and for other people in our community, it just is very exciting for me. And I know it's exciting for you, but it's also very exciting for me. Although I will say, when it does all come together, you know, it's like, I'm not surprised. I'm excited, but I'm not surprised, you know, because you did the work. And what I love about you is you didn't give up. You know, the first time you could, it didn't work out. The second time it didn't work out. You went and did it a third time. It's like, yep, I got it. I nailed it on the third time. One of the things that I love also about your story is you did not actually go into social media. You used social media. You were sort of doing some volunteer work for a charity, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that and tell us about some of the wins you got for that charity as a result. But then you actually didn't use the social media for the job. So you went into a sort of a different type of job. And I think that's important for people to hear. You know, when I say to people, you can leverage social media to return to work, and it doesn't have to be in the social media space. They don't really understand what I mean, but you're a perfect example of that. So talk to us first about the charity that you were using social media for and some of the wins you got there, and then more about this job and how it's not necessarily related to social media, but how social media helped you get it.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Life does kind of go on lots of different tangents. And I think initially when I came to Tech Pixies, I'd been running an e-commerce kind of online business. And yeah, a lot of, you know, I was thinking in my mind, oh, maybe I'll get back to doing a bit of that, and I can use, because initially, you know, I was really dependent on external platforms like Amazon and eBay, what have you. And I hadn't really bought a lot of that in-house. And that was my downfall, not having that kind of ability to do that. And so that was kind of in my forethought. So I was perhaps going to use that as a pathway. Then I sort of, you know, life sort of changed, and, you know, various reasons I became aligned to the charity. And I started very much wearing that social media hat. And it was a great opportunity, actually, because I was putting into practice everything I was learning on the course. And as you say, and I could see direct advantages of it. So I had my role was PR media executive and also social media manager. And I had no experience in broadcast. I had no experience in sort of press. But leveraging the social media to tap into those audiences, you know, I had some really quick wins. And at the time, I was thinking, well, you know, and this is my problem. I always put it down to luck. I don't really attribute the skills that I brought to the table as to why I'm getting the outcomes. And again, you know, I managed to get some, we as an organization, as a charity, managed to get some coverage on, you know, some really high profile platforms, and really sort of enabled us to increase the profile of these conditions. And it was through social media, leveraging that. So it wasn't that's what I was setting out to use it for, those skills, but it was absolutely played a part in achieving that stuff. So that was, yeah, that was a great win. And then, yeah, I think it's a bit like sales, you know, I am, you know, very much from a sales background. So whilst I'm not in a sales role now, a lot of the skills I've picked up along the way are playing a part in what I do in my everyday job. And it's the same with social media. Yeah, if you can understand how to, and a lot of what I do now is engaging, you know, it's building a profile by using those kind of platforms. So I think it plays into whatever you end up doing. I think in this day and age, you can't do a job without having a certain level of understanding about how social media can sort of, play a role in that.
Absolutely. And so what networks are you now leveraging in this role that you're in?
I think in my world, it's probably mostly LinkedIn. And sort of using that as a way to both keep my finger on the pulse about what other people are doing, to get connected, because don't forget, I was out of industry for like 12 years and I had to create my network. And LinkedIn was a great platform for me to be able to do that. Absolutely. Yeah, so that's probably the main one that I use. From the charity stuff, when I sort of dip in and help them, it's across all the platforms. I think TikTok actually is one that I'm interested in sort of following, because I think we are, I don't know, maybe we've sort of traveled a bit more into where that is, the target audience on that one. But I think there's a lot further for a way to go on that journey in terms of TikTok and how that can kind of be used to leverage business in certain sort of audiences. So yeah, but LinkedIn, to answer your question, is probably the key one that I use currently, which is funny.
Well,
in the group, it's probably the least liked one, isn't it? I don't know if it still is, but yeah.
Well, I think Twitter was the least liked.
Okay.
We sidelined Twitter. It's still a CPD module that we have, but we replaced it with with Pinterest or YouTube. I can't remember which one. And then we definitely had it. But anyway, we still have Twitter, but that was people's least favorite. So we thought, okay, well, we'll have it there for people who need it. But people were, YouTube is quite important right now. And that's one of the things that we're really getting into. But I will say LinkedIn is the one module that we teach that once people really, it's demystified and it's sort of like, it's less scary, they start using it. And that's where the results are really coming from in mm-hmm. that LinkedIn space, especially for people who want to return to work. They want to, and they, like you said, it's great for keeping a pulse on the industry and seeing what people are doing in the industry. And also for working on your own profile so that you become positioned within that industry as well. So that's really important. When I say to people, we have an 84% completion rate and it's an online course, it sort of blows their mind because normally online courses are less than 10% completion rate. So, I know you had to start a few times, but you got to the finish line. What were the things that helped you get to the finish line? For someone who might be listening to this and they're trying, they're maybe on their second or third attempt to try and get through the material. What was it that changed things for you that helped you get to the finish line?
I think for me, because I was using a lot of what I was learning in doing sort of the charity sort of work that I was doing at the time, I think that motivated me to sort of get to the end point because, I don't know if you're still doing it, but, I was producing a document that was going to be really useful for the charity itself in terms of building a strategy around their kind of posting schedule. And I think also having the flexibility as an organization, you really are supportive. If you hit a bump in the road and you need to sort of take a pause, you give that flexibility. And I think that's probably, I definitely took advantage of that. And I think that played a part in enabling me to get over the finish line. Absolutely. The community, you go in and you're having a tough time. You've taken your foot off the gas. It's very easy just to ditch it completely. But they gear you up. They get you back on board. If there's something that you're finding, difficult, then, they'll give you the sort of the feedback on how perhaps to overcome that. So I think it's a collective thing, really. It's the flexibility and the understanding of the organisation that you run and the support group that you've got access to. And I think, I don't know if you set out to create this amazing powerhouse of people that you can tap into, but to me, that is a business in its own right. You've got such a wealth of knowledge and skill set in there, and as a member you can tap into that as often as you like. I mean, just for an example, when I was trying to get some of the broadcast stuff, I was completely out of my you know, comfort zone. And I had some calls with some sort of, I think, Sky, BBC, whatever. And I shouted out and you said, right, connect with these people. And there's somebody who'd been working in that industry forever. They took the time, I think an hour or whatever it was on the phone, to talk me through a crib sheet of everything that I should be thinking of, the red flags, how to protect the people that I was looking to sort of cover stories of. That was absolutely amazing. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, you can pay massive money to get that kind of mentorship, and you get that as part of the course, which is an amazing sort of resource in its own right, over and above all the good stuff that you're teaching anyway. So yeah, but it's how you, I suppose from your perspective, it's really hard to put out to the outside world all of these different sort of elements of what you can bring to a course, because to me that was as important as, you know, all the tech skills and all the sort of the platforms that I was learning about.
Well, I was gonna say, I had a bit of a shock because I went and did someone else's program when I did my artificial intelligence training, as we were, you know, thinking about developing this app that combines neuroscience and artificial intelligence to help people craft their brain primes, et cetera. And their vision statements. And I went and did this artificial intelligence program. And so, you know, we now have this thing called, I know you did a different program, but we have something called the Social Media Accelerator, which is 6 weeks intensive. We get you through all the networks, but then you have access to the curriculum and the community for a full year. So, you know, then once you've gone through all the networks and you think, okay, I want to start with this one, then you've got the community to tap into and you've got the stuff to review throughout a year, and people can do the accelerator more than once. But what I found when I signed up for this program that was 6 weeks long, I got COVID in the middle of it, literally, like, and really badly. And I couldn't, there was nothing I could, you know, really do about it. I mean, I could barely get out of bed. And I remember messaging them and saying, look, I need an extension, you know, on this homework piece, or I can't get this done. And they were really hard-nosed about it. It was like, COVID or not, it's due. And if it's not done, you know, we're going to, and thankfully at that point I had done so much work on time and turned it in that missing one assignment didn't kill my whole grade and I was able to pass. But it was the feeling, you know, like, and also the feeling that I couldn't finish it in my own time and it had to be done in those 6 weeks or it wasn't going to count. And you know, and I think for us, you know, it's like, even if someone doesn't get their quiz, they don't get their quizzes done in those 6 weeks, they know they've got a whole year to get the quizzes done, right? So I think it was a real shock to my system. And it was a real indicator that a lot of the programs that are out there are still not designed to work with women's schedules and the things that they've got going in their lives. They're not designed to work with COVID.
The true value, or one of the pieces of true value that you bring, is that you understand your audience. You know, you are an owner, you know, and you're in it. Whereas a lot of the other courses perhaps that people look at is that they are designed by people who they're not in tune with their audience and what their audience needs. Whereas you really do understand the fact that, you know, your cohort of women or people who sign up to your course will have life challenges. And that's probably partly why they've come to you, because they want to change direction in their career or they want to get back into a career. So they are already having to sort of manage, some other stuff, and not having that flexibility could very easily make it so they don't achieve the end goal. But
understand, which defeats the whole purpose. That's my point. If someone comes in and then they're like, it's just the rules are so rigid and strict that they then, you know, it's the knock. We want someone to be encouraged, I mean, and supported fully. So, you know, that's why we have the word sparkle as our value set, supportive, positive, authentic relationships with women who are keen to learn and want to be empowered. But that's what it's about. It's like, let's really listen to what's going on with you and make sure we get you to the finish line. And I do say that to everyone, we'll get you to the finish line. If you keep showing up and you keep doing the work, we'll get you to the finish line. We did. We got you to the finish line. And you got yourself to the finish line by showing up and doing the work, you know?
Yeah.
So what would you say to people who are maybe they've had this sort of 12-year break from this career that they were doing previously and they want to get back into it? What were some of the steps in addition to the course that you did that helped you to take to make the move forward? How did you network with people? Did you find them through LinkedIn? Did you contact people you'd worked with previously? You know, what did you do in addition to just getting the confidence from the course?
I think one of the standout things that I did, and I don't know if it's still a thing that you offer, but I had a session with Teresa, and that session basically gave me the confidence to tap into my network that I'd worked with all those years ago. Because for some reason I put a complete mental block, well, not a bit like a block. I said to myself, I couldn't possibly do that. You know, I've worked with them all those years ago. I couldn't possibly reach out to them, but overcoming that was what opened the doors. You know, I'd worked with a guy, who was a sort of director of the company that I worked for, literally, when did I leave? It was a lot of years ago, probably 18, 19 years ago. And I reached out to him and I said, look, I want to get back in. You know, you might not remember. He said, of course I remember who you were. You know, and he said some really lovely stuff, which I can't even bring myself to say, like how wonderful of an employee I was, basically. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you even remember me, let alone like, you know, what I brought to the table. And it just so happened that he was the non-exec director of the organization that I'm now working for. So literally, you know, he put, you know, opened the door for me, shared, you know, what I'd achieved when I worked under him. And had I not had the confidence to do that, you know, I wouldn't probably have even, because on paper, you know, I probably didn't fit the bill. But because he did that introduction and because I had that session with Teresa to get the confidence to do that, and I know it probably seems silly to many people, but I just didn't think that was an achievable thing. So that's what I did. I tapped into that network. And I think also part of that session was really to relive who I was when I was in that environment, and to draw on that, to draw on those memories, to convince myself that I could, you know, I could still, you know, use all of that stuff that I'd built up as a skill set now, even though the time lapse had been massive and I'd been out of industry for so long. But yeah, so that was one of the key. And then in preparation for the interview, I emailed my sort of a line manager who I worked with back in the tech world. And yeah, he called me and, you know, he ran me through where the industry was. I was still a bit woolly in terms of the area of the business that I was getting into and what was happening there. And so he talked me through the proposition. He knew the company that I'm working for now very well. So he just got me up to speed on that. And so just being able to sort of, you know, just pick up the phone and phone him and just run through it. It just, in hindsight, the message I'd give is it's not as scary as you think. I think the anticipation is more scary than the actual reality of the situation. So you just have to, I know it's really hard and I couldn't really fathom it out or even believe it myself, but you just got to do it. You've just got a 3-second rule, I think, is one of the big things that you talk about. And I absolutely use that. It's like 1, 2, 3, do it. It's like jumping into a, like off a slide or whatever it might be. You just got to take the plunge and just do it. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Those two pieces are golden. And I love, you know, and I love it too, that you reached out and you didn't know what the reaction was going to be. But the action step, the, you know, the 1, 2, 3, do it, or the 3, 2, 1, go, that action step is, I'm going to call this person. I'm going to email this person. I'm going to message this person. And for a lot of people, the fear is so great that they never even do it. And it's getting that message to the person, picking up the phone. I mean, that's how Tech Pixie started. You know, I had this vision for a digital skills school, and that's literally, that was the first name of Tech Pixie's, like, DSS, Digital Skills School. And I dropped digital. I thought that was a bit archaic, but that was my sort of idea. And I remember I called a couple of people. I remember very vividly sitting on some steps outside of, in Oxford, outside of the Sheldonian, talking to one of my friends, who's now the guy who sort of manages our website, saying, I have this idea. And, you know, and he said, well, I think that's a great idea, but I don't know how to help you. And so I called the next person, and the next person I called was a guy named Tony Hart. And I said, I've got this idea for a digital skills school. And he's like, oh my gosh, you're never going to believe this. Money just came across my desk today and you should apply for it. He goes, I don't make the decision, but I'll send you the information on it. And so, you know, if I hadn't picked up the phone to call Tony, I never would have known about the money. And there was no way I was going to start the whole Tech Pixies thing. I hadn't worked myself paid, you know, I was doing what most women do, is I would do free work and not invoice for the work that should have been paid. And, you know, I didn't have enough money to start the business. And so when he said, you know, apply for this grant, and I did, and I applied for the grant, and we got it, you know, we got the grant, and we had 12 women. And it's interesting because you say, I don't know if that was your ambition, was to create this like powerhouse of women. I just wanted to help 12 women go back to work in a cold church hall in Oxford. You know, that was my ambition. And I think, you know, I mean, I heard someone, well, one of my mentors was telling a story about how, you know, her husband had defrauded people who had invested in the project, the program, the company, that it was a church actually at the time that she'd built up, and she lost everything. It was $10 million that he defrauded. So he goes to jail. She loses everything. She was advised to go into, to file for bankruptcy. She said, no, I am a person of integrity and I will pay back this money. However, I have to figure this out. And she said, you know, she went walking on the beach in where she lived in Oregon for 40 days, you know, and she was just completely devastated. You know, she lost everything. She lost her reputation. She lost all her money. The company, you know, she lost her husband. He went to jail. They got divorced. And she then said, well, actually dawned on me that if I'm going to make 10 million, I have to learn how to make 1 million. And if I don't know how to make a million, I got to learn how to make 100,000. If I don't know how to make 100,000, I got to make 10.
Yeah.
So she literally said, okay, how do I make $10,000? You know, and she's like, well, I could go work for Burger King. That's one way that I can make $10,000. And she came up with 19 other ways. And that's how she created the Brave Thinking Activation Tool, which is like the 20 ideas. You know, you source 20 ideas that you would, you know, you that would help you solve this problem. You don't discredit any of them. And then you narrow it down to five that you energetically in alignment with that light you up. And then you pick three and then you go and try them out and serve those dreams. So, you know, for someone who's like, well, how do I get back into this industry? Well, they think about 20 different ways that they could get back into the industry. One of them is I could contact this person, you know, and for me, that was it. Who are the 20 people I could contact who could help me get started on this road? And that's exactly what I did. And I was fortunate. And the second person I called was like, I've got money for you. And then you know, that really went down the that's how we got started. But it's such an interesting journey that, you know, you sometimes you look back and you're like, well, if I hadn't taken that step, this step wouldn't have, you know, and you can connect the dots and you look back and you go, wow, that's, you know, that was a good choice.
You know, this job is for me, for many reasons, location, the people I work with are amazingly supportive. They are just, in terms of like going back in, you know, obviously had a lot of self-doubt if I could get up to speed on the tech and et cetera, et cetera. And you need that kind of, not recognition, but you need that kind of reassurance. And that's there. It's in bucket loads. They're always sort of saying you're doing a great job, which I think is a skill in its own right from a manager's perspective. That's an important part of me being able to sort of get back into it, having that, you know, just assurance that I am doing all the right things. And there's many people I work for, like, you don't get that. And so I just feel really, I've just landed on my feet, absolutely. And so I think, and also they're inclusive of women, you know, it's a predominantly male sort of dominated organized, you know, industry. But yeah, even that is seems to be a good balance where I am. It's just all really worked out. So I'm really, really pleased to be back into it. And I think the other thing with the course is it's not just getting you over that line. A lot of what, you know, the skills I've been given and the sort of the self-belief and everything is I'm using it in everyday kind of working life. You know, I'm not reserved in terms of giving my opinion or my thoughts or you know, suggesting a direction and where I think a project should be going. That wasn't me before getting back in. It's all coming together, so it's a great experience. So yeah, I'm really
and very important question, your kids they've survived you going back to work.
Do you know what? It's bizarre, isn't it? I thought they'll never be able to get out of the house on time to school if I'm not there. On the first day, they were like earlier at the house, earlier than they would be if I was driving them. It's just like, okay, the world doesn't fall apart.
Yeah.
They can do it. It's good for them. I think, you know, I think I definitely am guilty of doing too much for them. And I think, you know, through this journey, they've had to sort of pick up the baton and do a lot more for themselves, but it's for the greater good, you know, it's enabling them to be more self-sufficient, which I think in later life is another skill that they're going to need. So yeah, it's a win-win.
Absolutely. Well, and I can imagine now with the energy prices going up, having this job and is a nice bonus. Like, I'm contributing to the family income. I saw the energy stuff this morning. I thought, okay, this is why we got to get women back into work, because we live in an environment now where two incomes are, needed and required, and women need to be paid their worth, and they need good jobs. And tech is a great way to get a well-paid job, and it's a great way to contribute to the family household budget as well. Tony, thank you so very much. Do you have, if someone was sitting on the fence trying to decide, maybe thinking I've been out for 12 years or, just a long time, and they're trying to make a decision, what would you say to them?
Oh, it's just an easy thing. I think also just see the little steps along the way. Don't try and, I think the elephant analogy you use is don't try and eat that whole elephant. Just take baby steps, but you've got to take that first step to get in, to be in it. Yeah, is probably what I'd say. But yeah, but it's been absolutely happy to catch up with you. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
I love catching up with you too. Thank you so much. All right, we'll see you around in the community.
Okay, bye.
Bye.